In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's normal and healthy for all of us to feel fear from time to time. And on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, I always reflect on the fear I felt when I stood before you on this Sunday and preached to you for the very first time as your new rector. It was September 11th, 2011. I remember thinking, why did my superiors send me someplace where everyone hates me? What better place to keep the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks? I kept my eyes down at the pulpit. I didn't dare stare out at the cold discontent in your faces. The fact that I had been a seminary candidate here back in 2003 didn't seem to matter a whit. Nobody wanted me here now. Too bad. Here I was after 8 years' absence, and today's gospel made my mission clear. I had to give thanks. My fear that day was not entirely rational. Of course, I know you didn't hate me. That's something you would have to learn over time. And I truly was grateful, as I remain today. The time I spent as a candidate in Warsaw, and your many prayers over my long years of seminary, were what prepared me for the faithful day I would have to stand before you as your priest. Thanks to you, I had the joy of calling myself a returning son of Warsaw. There is now a significant portion of this congregation that perhaps does not even know what I'm referring to when I say September 11th, for they do not remember those events. Yet up until 2020, we could still talk about how we live in a post-9/11 world. Whatever you may think about what caused 9/11, no one can doubt that what happened on that day and the fear it generated became the foundation for all major foreign policy decisions in the years to come, as well as much of the expansion of our government's power over the private lives of its own citizens. Before 9/11, most Americans would have bristled at the idea of creating yet another federal department and giving it the eerie name of Homeland Security. Whatever political party happened to be in power at the time would have been accused by the other of tyranny. 9/11 changed that, at least for the years immediately following. Who could dare, in a world ruled by terror, to speak out against security, against safety? As we come to the close of 2020, 2001 seems a dim memory. Post-9/11 world is now an outdated term. There are new fears that reign. For whatever you may think about the dangers of COVID, or who may be behind all these riots, what is undeniable is that the events of 2020 have left millions of Americans paralyzed with fear and ready to listen to anyone who offers a return to a sense of security. Regardless of what freedoms and cherished parts of our lives have to be sacrificed along the way. In many cases, that sense of security is little more than knowing you won't be beaten to death by a group of stormtroopers because you agreed to imitate the godless salute they were waving in your face. We don't need to guess their agenda. for they state it clearly: the abolition of property and the triumph of Marxism, including the destruction of the traditional family. No need to wait for elections. They will achieve their goals here and now in the streets. For they know that people will welcome even the darkness of communism if it means an end to the violence. Perhaps we did not expect Russia's errors to spread in this fashion, but our enemy's hour is late and his time is short. Yet we must acknowledge, my children, that throughout these trials, we, here in our little portion of the world, have been safely under the mantle of one who cares not so much for our material safety here and now as for our eternal salvation. This year we have been reminded that it is possible for us to lose our greatest treasure on earth, the daily presence of Christ in his sacraments. What do any other trials matter if our souls lose their one source of vital nourishment? A man should not trade his soul to gain the whole world, but to trade it for safety. Our Blessed Lady has obtained, by her intercession, the conversion of many hearts during these months, reminding us that we are worried over many things, but one thing is necessary. As I now begin my 10th year as your rector, please join me in giving thanks to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception for her wondrous protection over our church and our families throughout this dark year. How many people have come into the church or returned to the sacraments? How many have discovered the splendor of truth and embraced sacred tradition? Can we doubt that she will see us through? We have heard her voice whispering, as in the psalm, "Come, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." We have no need of fearless men. Praise be to those who fear God rather than men. As the fear-mongering now comes to a fever pitch, let us pray, fast, and do works of mercy to the poor, the sick, the disenfranchised, the jobless, the persecuted. Let us place all our trust in the Mother of Holy Hope. No, none of us dreamed that 2020 would see the suppression of all public worship, while rioters are left free to loot, maim, and murder. But neither could we have dreamed that the Ave Maria would be sung at the White House as part of the convention proceedings of a president who's not even Catholic. Her immaculate heart will triumph, and blessed the eyes that will see it. Amen.